Heads up.
President Obama, your Justice Department is invoking the Bush administration's argument of state secrets to prevent a court from reviewing the legality of the NSA's warrantless wiretapping program. But sir, isn't it saying it's a state secret ridiculous? I mean, we know our government illegally spied on us. All that we don't know is the full extent of the illegal spying.
That's right, and if you knew the full extent, trust me, you'd not be happy.
Sir, why are you protecting the lawbreaking of the Bush administration?
Now, I could tell you, but it's a state secret.
We have Jacob joining us next from Madison. Go ahead, Jacob.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I earlier today actually heard another interview that you've done, Mr. Chomsky, and you defended anarchy as kind of the basis for your belief system, and I looked it up in my dictionary, and it says the absence of law and order or general state of disorder and confusion. And anarchism is the political theory that individual freedom should be absolute and that all government and law is evil. To understand where you're coming from, I would like you to clarify how you can defend that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't defend it, but that's not anarchism. There's a rich, long anarchist tradition. If you want to know my views, there's no time now, but I've written extensively on it. I think the core idea of the whole anarchist tradition is that we should investigate social structures from the family to international affairs and see if we can identify structures of hierarchy and domination and subordination and submission. And we should insist that they justify themselves. If they can't meet the burden of proof of justifying themselves, then we should seek to overcome them and develop a more free and just system. Now, that's the core principle of anarchism. I think it's a very good principle. Anarchists have spelled out, of many different stripes, have spelled out in detail the kinds of societies they would like to see. And they're very organized societies, just based on the principle of cooperation and mutual aid and voluntary choice, rather than the principle of submission and domination. But they're not disorganized societies. Part of the long-standing effort to defame attempts to bring more justice and freedom and equality is to condemn the efforts in the terms that you saw in the dictionary.
We're people gonna rise up and take what's there, 'cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
That was info from last week's Radical Efforts, and the following is This Week in Radical History for the week starting April 13th. Inspiration came from the Slingshot organizer. A lot of radical info comes from the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website, and this week some audio is borrowed from the Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Inspiration for the movie V is for Vendetta on this date in 1570, Guy Fawkes lives. He was instrumental in the gunpowder plot of 1605 to blow up the English Parliament and King James I.
Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Revolution without dancing is a revolution not worth having.
More government hated radicals, like on this date, April 13th in 1919. Eugene Debs in prison for opposing World War I. He was a socialist, pacifist, and labor leader. Eugene Debs, while in prison, received over 1 million votes for president in 1920. Eugene Debs once said, "While there is lower class, I am in it. While there is criminal element, I am of it. While there is a soul in prison, I am not free." Eugene Debs. Also on April 13th in 1958, the U.S. starts the MK-Ultra drug program. Here's a little over 1 minute audio about the program.
In 1958, the CIA started a secret drug testing program under the catchy but meaningless name of MK-Ultra.
mainly LSD, sound, sensory deprivation.
LSD, PCP, uppers, downers, amphetamines, heroin and mescaline. You name it, the CIA tried it, all in the name of scientific research.
They set up this brothel in New York and the customers would have their drinks spiked with LSD. They took over a mental hospital in Montreal and with the idea of trying to brainwash the mental patients. So they'd give them drugs and play them these noises over and over again.
The behavioral side of the research virtually kidnapped nearly 100 patients and subjected them to heavy doses of LSD, regular electrical shocks, and a football helmet clamped to the head, playing degrading messages up to 500,000 times, such as, "My mother hates me."
God, no!
MKUltra wasn't torture, but the way it lives on is in interrogation techniques in Guantanamo and Iraq. That's when you see MKUltra springing back into life.
Thousands of government-sponsored experiments did take place at hospitals, universities, and military bases around our nation. Some were unethical, not only by today's standards, but by the standards of the time in which they were conducted. They failed both the test of our national values and the test of humanity. The United States of America offers a sincere apology to those of our citizens who were subjected to these experiments, to their families, and to their communities.
You have a lot more to apologize than just that, Clinton. This week in Radical History for April 14th, 1756, the New World, Pennsylvania governor declares war on Delaware Indians, states, quote, "For the scalp of every male Indian enemy, the sum of 130 pieces of eight," unquote. Also on April 14th, 1788, the Doctors Riot. Five killed as a mob stormed Doctors Hospital in New York, where Columbia University doctors and students were dissecting human corpses stolen from the local graveyards. The militia would be sent in as the rioting lasted for days. Lastly, on April 14th, 1865, Lincoln is shot by John Wilkes Booth at the Ford Theater in Washington, D.C. Few know that on the same day, Secretary of State Seward was attacked by Bowie knife and severely wounded by Lewis Payne, a co-conspirator of Booth. This week in Radical History for April 15th, only have two items, 1919, the start of a vicious six-day strike across New England by the first woman-led U.S. Union, Telephone Operator Department of the IBEW. Also on April 15th, 1967, first mass burning of draft cards as 400,000 march in New York City and 80,000 San Francisco opposing the Vietnam War. This week in Radical History for April 16th, 1854, Jacob Coxey lives. He twice led the Coxey Army in 1894 and 1914, bands of unemployed men on march from Ohio to Washington, D.C., to present a petition in Boots demanding that the United States Congress appropriate money to create jobs for the unemployed. Coxey believed the government should print unbacked paper money, or greenbacks, in order to finance public works projects. At the time, these ideas were greeted with ridicule by many in Congress and the press, but they later became funding principles in the New Deal era and, of course, what Obama is doing today. Coxey was arrested for walking in the grass and his army peacefully dispersed. Although it didn't seem to have much effect, the march on Washington and the growing threat of populism at this time struck fear into the hearts of many. People, the time's
come. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, April 16th in 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote his famous Letter from Birmingham City Jail, which addressed the public criticisms made by the white church on the nonviolent civil rights movement. Dr. King explains that active resistance is necessary because the oppressors will never voluntarily give up their power and hand freedom over to the oppressed. King then suggests that white moderates are more dangerous than white supremacists because white supremacists do not hide their racism and can easily be identified as the enemy, whereas white moderates claim to be allies and yet stifle racial justice with their lack of commitment and definitive action. On this day, April 17, in 1492, the Capitulations of Santa Fe was signed by Queen Isabel of Spain, authorizing and financing Christopher Columbus's first voyage to the Americas. Since then, Columbus has become quite a popular historical figure. So what's all the hype for? He's only responsible for committing acts of genocide and colonizing the New World. Oh yeah, that did kind of spark the idea of a global market system, conveniently setting an example for the rest of Europe to begin their own economic domination. Okay, so I get it now. Global capitalism, exploitative labor, and riches. No wonder Columbus is considered a hero by Europe and the US. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Also on April 17, 1908, accompanied by Dr. Ben Reitman, anarchist and feminist Emma Goldman arrives in San Francisco, where the police notify her that her anarchist propaganda cannot be circulated in the land of the free.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, April 18th in 1906, a huge earthquake shook San Francisco, destroying much of the city. While the National Guard is praised for its heroic relief efforts, few know about the excessive brutality it used to persecute the Chinese-American population in the aftermath of the earthquake. Additionally, the city forcibly evacuated Chinatown in order to gain control of the real estate. This natural disaster allowed businessmen and politicians to profit while reorganizing political structures in their favor, revealing the severe power imbalances between the rich and the poor and whites and non-whites. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Also on April 18, 1948, the National Guard is called out against striking West Virginia coal miners. Paint Creek, Cabin Creek coal miners on strike in West Virginia are forced to defend themselves, beginning one of the most violent strikes in the nation's history. They had suffered humiliation, brutality, and death at the hands of mine guards. They had been machine-gunned by armored-plated trains, illegally court-martialed, and illegally imprisoned by the state governor, with whom local UMWA officials, supposed to be representing the best interests of the miners, were working in cahoots with the governor to break the strike. Also on April 18, 1948, postmodernist and sex-positive feminist writer Kathy Acker lives. Prolific writer, she once wrote, quote, "We don't have a clue of what is to be male or female, or if they are intermediate genders. Male and female might be fields which overlap into androgyny and different kinds of sexual desire. But because we live in a Western patriarchal world, we have very little chance of exploring these gender possibilities." Here's just a short segment about her and her voice.
I like and admire how she delved into the darker side of being human, and darker not meaning the wrong side of being human, I guess. Sometimes I was reading it and I felt physically sick.
If you ever can't hear, just yell at me or something. This is no church. Okay, so this is a little poem by Ange, because poetry is what fucks up this world. While the world cracks open, and all the rich men die, and all the fucks who sat on my face, those sniffling shites, we come crawling through the cracks, orphans, lobotomies. If you ask me what I want, I'll tell you, I want everything. Whole rotten world, come down and break. Let me spread my legs.
Kathy Acker. Also on April 18th, 1996 in Lebanon, 102 refugees, many women and children in UN compound, killed by intentionally targeted Israeli artillery. The U.S. tried unsuccessfully to suppress a UN report blaming Israel for the massacre. Lastly, on April 18, 1998 in Chile, labor organizations from across Latin America converge in Santiago in a mass protest against President Bill Clinton's free trade visits and negotiations. The U.S. government and a few elite U.S. corporations have long ago replaced Chilean democracy with a U.S. military dictatorship under a butcher, Augusto Pinochet. The latter undertakes a campaign of genocide against labor, activist workers, and those on the left of the extreme right-wing PALs. Let freedom ring. This week in radical history, for April 19, 1943 in Poland, 50,000 Jews remaining in the Warsaw Ghetto uprise. Thousands of Jews rise in armed struggle against Nazi deportations and extermination camps. Statistically, those Jews who fought against the Nazis had a higher rate of survival than those who did not struggle. Perhaps we can understand why Palestinians fight their oppressors. People, the time has come.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, April 19th in 1961, the Bay of Pigs invasion came to a humiliating end for the American government. The invasion was planned and financed by the U.S. under President Kennedy, with the ultimate goal of overthrowing Fidel Castro and the Cuban revolutionary regime. The CIA trained anti-Castro Cuban exiles for the attack and attempted to make it appear as an internal Cuban conflict, but the web of lies created by the U.S. to mask their involvement quickly unraveled. The Bay of Pigs invasion failed miserably, with U.S. losses including the capture of the Cuban exiles and the death of four American pilots. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
And now, the man your mother warned you about, Mike Cannon.
You have been listening to This Week in Radical History, produced from the mobile fortress of Glee Glee Studios. This week's ending song, Workers of the World Unite, is by an awesome New York band, The Last Internationale. So until next week's show, remember I'm always and forever yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon.
First to use his hand.
gets up, we'll all get up. It'll be anarchy.